that you treat second class.
Yes.
That little woman,
yes,
that you feel that you're better than.
Yes.
That little woman that you want to call the weaker vessel. God's got some soldiers that's rising up today. And we ain't just gonna be treated second class no more. You got some men folks out there that got the same brother voice from you. And say, let that woman go forth. That God wanna use her, let God use her. That God is walking in her, let God walk in her. Bless the woman of God. Bless the children of God. Let God have his way. Back up and take God here. Verse 7:38. And said unto her, woman, thy sins are forgiven. And they said it meet with him and began to say within themselves, who in the world is this that forgives sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith have saved thy. Say thee. So I want to say to every happy Women's Month March, you got some folks don't want to, but undoubtedly God has touched a million people's heart and mind to where they decided to give woman a Women's Month. They don't have a Man's Month.
Today and we're truly blessed. If you would like a copy of today's message, please call 337-238-0314 or visit our website at www.churchofjesuschristhop.org. Praise be to God for our co-founder, Pastor Annie Mulberry. Be blessed. In Jesus' name, until we meet again this same time next week.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
You just tuned in to the outreach ministries of the Mount Calvary Baptist Church
located 320 Daspit Street in Alexandria, Louisiana. Reverend Ronnie Humphrey Sr. is the pastor. We are a church of the living word, preaching and teaching the word, thereby fulfilling God's command as stated in Mark 16:15 to go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. At Mount Calvary Baptist Church, leading to others is the church's first priority. Now join Pastor Humphrey in a sermon already in progress.
Father, I thank you right now. I thank you right now for your grace and your mercy. For I know that without your grace and mercy, we'd not be able to be as we are today. Lord, we thank you right now. We thank you for this word that if you'll allow me to preach like you want me to preach it this morning, make me a mouthpiece and your sounding board, so that I may say something the right way to draw people to you, to your salvation, to your grace and your mercy, and prayerfully not ever drive them away, is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. We've had a great time today. Great time. Amen. Allow me to slow down just a little bit today and draw out some things that maybe I've been a little too fast for lately. My life has sped up a lot lately. But I'm going to slow down a little bit and hang with you a little while today, if that's okay. Giving honor to God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, to our pastor emeritus, who, as you all know by now, along with my daddy, ordained me, hired me, trained me, even when he was teaching classes at the United Theological Seminary. I didn't have enough money to go to the classes, but he taught me one-on-one for free. God is good. I didn't have to pay the entrance fee, but what he taught them, I got to hear one-on-one and apply it practically. Amen. So giving honor to Dr. and Mrs. Huey Lawson, to Reverend Rodney Lennox, Minister Cindy Humphrey, and all of you. We want to talk this morning about a little story that we all know about, but I want to talk about the backside of the story. We know the story of Jonah. how God sent Jonah to preach one direction and Jonah went the other way, headed to a place called Tarshish. God caused a storm on the sea that Jonah was traveling. Caused the sailors that Jonah was sharing the boat with to throw Jonah overboard. And caused a great fish to swallow him up and spit him out on dry land at the place he should have been going in the first place. And then he preached at the place God sent him to preach in the first place. And the people repented like God wanted them to. We know that story. But the part that we don't talk about too much is how Jonah felt after all of that happened. So allow me to read a few scriptures that may be rather lengthy, but I'm King James, and I'm going to read the King James Version for this portion. Jonah, 4th chapter, 1 through 11. Jonah 4 and 1 through 11. And remember, this is the second part of the story. We already know the first part. Jonah 4, 1 through 11. This is how it reads in King James. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, set under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? We use for a subject a little while today, an angry Christian. An angry Christian. And we all know that Jonah was a prophet sent from God. That much we're sure of, that he was sent to preach repentance to a place called Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, a contemptuous city, if you will, headed for ruin, headed for damnation, if they didn't heed and turn around to God's word. See, God is still speaking loud and clear even today.
Yes, he is.
We don't heed and turn around to his word. But allow me to issue a disclaimer. Jonah was not a Christian. because this was a time before Christ. He was a prophet and a preacher, but he was not labeled a Christian. Sadly, Jonah's attitude as he went wasn't conducive to repentance. Jonah went with a severe attitude. He finally went into the city and preached like God wanted him to from the get. Nineveh repented like God wanted them to do. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, which means he didn't like it at all. He was very angry. The amazing thing about Jonah's vow to the Lord was that he promised to do what God wanted him to do.
Yes, sir.
But he was angry with God because he couldn't agree with God's way of doing things.
Yes, sir.
Huh? He prayed to the Lord, is not this what I said when I was still at my house?
Yes.
In other words, Lord, didn't I say this was going to happen? You see, that's why I was so quick to flee the other way, Lord, because I knew that you wasn't going to do to him what you said you was going to do.
Yes, sir.
You know, I knew that you were a gracious and a compassionate God,
yes,
slow to anger, well, abounding in love, a God who relents,
yes,
from sin and calamity. Now, Lord, take my life because I don't want to live no more.
Yes.
Isn't that something? We mad because somebody else gets blessed.
Yeah.
And we become angry at God, at everybody, at the neighborhood. Now, I believe this story of Jonah because God reveals the character flaws of his children in this story to help the rest of us overcome our own character flaws, because we all got some. Huh? You know, but see, God has nothing to hide from me, so why should I hide from him? Amen? But we try to hide our stuff from God, not realizing that God knows all. He knows every hair on our head, on our entire body. Why try to hide your stuff from God? I also believe the story of Jonah because it expresses the nature of the human experience realistically, which means we all stumble, and we've all come short of the glory of God. I believe that the story of Jonah's anger is the way many Christians right here today might be serving God in anger today. Oh yeah, we're serving him. We're doing reluctantly sometimes what he wants us to do, but we're mad about it. Can I get a witness? You know, everybody has a bad side that we don't want other folks to see. Anger is a natural response to some of the stuff that happens in the world. Amen. Some things are worth being mad about. But God blessing somebody and showing mercy to somebody is not worth being mad about. But Jonah got mad. Got mad. And, you know, as we lean into our scriptures today, allow me to switch from King James to the NIV version to ensure some maximum clarity for a little while. Let us review the word. 4:1 says, but Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord. Is this not what I said when I was still at home? That's why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sin and calamity. Now, Lord, take my life, for it's better for me to die than to live, because you didn't do what you said you was going to do to Nineveh. God gave us this picture of Jonah to enable us to see ourselves. Amen. Anger might be a natural response in a natural world, but it seems as though it ought to be different with us Christians. Can I get a witness? Do we have a right to be angry? Yes, sometimes if it's justified. But when you see your neighbor being blessed and you don't think he's any good, when you see your neighbor getting some things happening in their lives and you don't think they deserve it because you know that you're better than them, you know they don't pray, they don't go to church, their children ain't no good, but you see them getting blessed and you get mad like Jonah. How dare you decide who God blesses? The Lord replied, have you any right to be angry? Jonah became angry with God and decided to go on strike. That's what a lot of us do now. We get so mad, we're going to go on strike. We're going to stay away from the church. We ain't going to do nothing. We ain't going to pay nothing. We ain't going to pray with the pastor no more. All of that because we're mad at somebody. Verse 5 said, Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in the shade, and waited to see what was going to happen. We're just going to go on strike and see if Mount Calvary going to fall. Okay? Can I get a witness? We're going to stop going to Mount Calvary. We're going to call everybody we know, and we're going to watch Mount Calvary fall. But I'm here to tell you that God's program will never fall because God doesn't need us. We need God. If I could talk to Jonah today, I said, Jonah, what you so mad about? Then the Lord provided a vine, listen to this, and made it grow up over Jonah's head to give shade to ease his discomfort. You know, maybe he stopped being so mad. He's sitting down on a hillside outside the city mad. I'm going to make a little tree grow over him and give him a little shade. Amen. A little metaphor, you know, example of salvation. But at dawn the next day, listen to what God did. He provided a worm which chewed up the vine so it died. So when the sun rose, God provided a scorching heat, start blowing upside Jonah's head. Can I get a witness? And the sun blazed down so much that Jonah fell out. Sitting on the hillside, looking at the city on strike, and then fell out. You see, that's what happened to you sometime. You think you're doing something to somebody. Go sit over there and get on strike. After a while, you'll be done fell out. Jonah said, I just want to die. It'd be better for me to die than to live. I just can't stand it. I can't stand that Nineveh got blessed. And you said you was going to mess them up. I just can't stand that they still getting your grace and mercy. That's how we are. That's how we are. We think we're the only ones that's supposed to get blessed. Because we Christians. Huh? Amen. We go to church. Amen. We pay our tithes. And let me give you a little disclosure about tithes. God don't need the tithes. The congregation might need the tithes, but God don't need them. God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be mad about this vine? You're mad about the city. Now you're mad because the vine died, but you didn't make the vine. You didn't grow it. It came up in a night and died in a night. Now, if you're mad because the vine died, how about 120,000 people over in Nineveh? Yeah, that's what he's saying. Yes, sir. Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine. See, we worried about the wrong thing. I had a neighbor one time that was more worried about his dog than a human being. Amen. I used to have a little puppy for 12 and a half years. Lucky went on to dog heaven, I hope. But let me tell you, Lucky never was more important to me than a person. But see, God brought Jonah face to face with himself. Sometimes we got to look at us. God asked Jonah, you know, why are you so mad? He asked Jonah this question twice. Jonah was so angry with God that he'd rather be dead than be part of God's plan in order to save Nineveh. You see, instead of being glad that he preached and the people repented, looked like if Jonah was a preacher, he would be glad that somebody heeded his words. Isn't that right? He'd be glad to see somebody thought what he said was important enough to listen and do right. Amen. But Jonah got mad because the sermon he preached did some good. Didn't only get mad at Nineveh, but got mad at God too. But see, Jonah might have had some personal problems. Amen. He might have been mad because he'd been telling everybody they're going to get what they deserve. And then when God decided not to give them what they deserve, Jonah got mad. But that's what grace and mercy is all about. Anybody know about grace? It's when you get more than you should get. Mercy is when you don't get what you should get. What you're so mad about. What you're so mad about? Anger always brings you to the end of the rope. When you're getting mad, you can't think straight. You can't act right. Your vision gets blurry. Amen. And if you don't cease from anger and do something about it, then you become a mad Christian, and you're mad all the time. You're mad in the morning, mad in the noonday. You wake up mad in the midnight hour. When you get up in the morning, instead of praying and saying, thank you, God, you're mad again. Just be a mad Christian. Some of us show our anger by lashing out in all sorts of ways. Other folks, we seek physical or mental retaliation. Some of us, we want to jump on somebody. You better watch that now. You better make sure you can win before you decide to whip somebody. You might jump on a Karate Kid and have to take you to the hospital. But Jonah was seeking retaliation against that old wicked city of Nineveh. In an apocalyptic manner, Jonah wanted destruction. He wanted God to rain down wrath on Nineveh. I mean, I heard somebody say a few years ago when Katrina came to New Orleans, say New Orleans deserved that. Say because New Orleans ain't nothing but a city full of voodoo and evil and sin, they deserve what they got. That sounds like Jonah to me. You might have every right to be angry. There is a place for anger in the kingdom of God. But we ought to be angry over apathy in our communities. That's what we ought to be mad about. Amen. We ought to be mad when a black child kills a black child. Not only when the police kills a black child, we ought to be mad. But we all right when we do it to each other. But we're mad when the police do it. We ought to be mad about accepting anything goes. We ought to be mad about dog-eat-dog politics. We ought to be mad when a church splits up. That's what we ought to be mad about. But some of us are glad when God blesses us and mad when he blesses somebody else. What you so mad about? Sometimes our frustration can bring anger. Things ain't going right for us. Amen. Bills do. Amen. The children going astray. Personal life in shambles. So we feel like all of that gives us the right to be mad at God and mad at the church because somebody else seemed to be doing all right. You ain't doing too good. You think, you know, misery love company. You think because you miserable, somebody else ought to be miserable. If you ain't got this, they shouldn't have that. But what you're so mad about? God is a good God, and he got enough blessings for all of us. I wonder today how many of us Christians are just like Jonah. We serving God, but we're harboring a kind of anger in our heart that's robbing us of really, really receiving the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? You see, Jonah wound up the only person that was suffering from his anger. Every now and then we get so mad and everybody else get over it. But we're still mad. Can I get a witness? Nobody else in this story had a problem doing what God wanted him to do except Jonah. Can I get a witness? You see, when Jonah fled from God the first time, the wind and the waves obeyed God with no complaint. Can I get a witness? When he was cast overboard from the ship headed the other way, God commanded a great fish to come up.